Read a few verses from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Amen. I've brought a picture this morning. And I would like you to tell me, who is this famous person? I'll give you a clue. He's not famous, really. Very good, Gary. It's my dad. How did you guess?
Is it good or two?
Yeah, well, it's Father's Day, and I thought, well, Dad's not with me, he's in Kendal, so I'll at least bring a picture of my dad so that you can see him in all his glory. This is my dad, John. In many ways, I'm like my dad. We both look similar, although I look much younger. We both sound the same on the phone. We both have a bit of a Scouse twang. We both, for our sins, support Everton. And we both love chocolate. But we're also a little bit different as well. My dad likes cars, I don't. I like buildings, which is why I became a building surveyor. As we think about mission this morning, with God's help, we're going to see that we as Christians, we're in fact very much like our Heavenly Father. For his heart, for mission, is also given to us and is in us. So we're similar in many ways, but we're also different to God the Father. Our mission as Christ's church is both different but similar to God's mission. So this morning I want to talk about the mission of God and then to talk briefly about the mission of the church. What is our mission? So the mission of God. What is God's mission? We read just now in John chapter 20 that the Father sent the Son. What does this teach us about God? Well, it teaches us that God is a missionary God. And that mission comes from God. From God's own heart. And we use this word today, mission. It's not in the New Testament, but we use this word mission when we talk, for example, about the mission of God or the mission of church. And the word mission comes from the word sent in Latin. So since the Father has sent the Son, God is a missionary God. And mission exists within God. What does that mean for us? Well, it means that we can't talk about mission, we can't even do mission, if we don't start firstly with God. He is the source of mission. Mission comes from him. It's his idea. He is the architect. It is actually his mission. So if we want to be part of it, it is very good and very necessary to think about God and his missionary heart for the world. And I think we can fall into a dangerous trap if we try to do God's work without first thinking about God and his prior mission to the world. When we do that, when we think about God and his mission to the world first, we are like a car that is filled with petrol. And we can go, we're efficient, and our hearts are changed. But if we neglect this theological part, this thinking of God and his mission, and we just jump straight to the works, then we're like a car without petrol. Okay, and we are going to tire, we're not going to get very far, and all our heart motives will be wrong. When I was a young man, or rather when I was a younger man than what I am now, I just turned 39 in case you're wondering. When I was younger, I thought that theological study was too time consuming, and that the practical part was the most important thing. So I thought that because Jesus is returning soon, and that people need to hear the gospel, this was more important than for me studying God's word. I think I've come to the conclusion that this is wrong. Because we study God's mission so that we can fulfill it more efficiently and with the right heart. And therefore, Jesus talks first about the mission of God before he talks about the mission of the disciples. He says, doesn't he, as the Father has sent me, which is the mission of God, first, I am sending you, second, the mission of the church, mission of the disciples. So God is a missionary God. And the second thing we're learning here is that mission exists within the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. In verse 21, the Father sent the Son. And in verse 22, Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit on the disciples. So Jesus, the Son, sends the Holy Spirit. Now, it is important to underline, as we know, that God is one. He is not made up of different parts. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they are not three different essences, each with a different conscience. They are in fact one essence. If they were three different essences, then the perfect mission that exists within God would be compromised. There would be conflict, there would be change. But this is not the nature of God. God is one. The Nicene Creed of 325 AD tells us that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are three persons, but one essence. And this is really, really good news and important when we think about the mission of God, because it means that God will never change. God will never change. And he will always be committed to his mission. And the Trinity is also teaching us that there exists perfect love between the persons. So the Father loves the Son and the Spirit. The Son loves the Father and the Spirit, and the Spirit loves the Father and the Son. And their love is perfect. In God there is perfect love. And God's mission to the world comes from this perfect love that overflows from God, that exists within God, that overflows to the world. God is love, says Scripture, and therefore he sent the Son because he loved the world that much. Let's just think about that car again. So, the car needs petrol to go. Where does it go to get petrol? It goes to Texaco, petrol station, Esso, BP, okay? Where does the petrol come from to get to the petrol station? It comes from under the ground, okay? Now, how much petrol is there under the ground? I don't know, actually. But there's lots of petrol under the ground. How many cars are there on the planet today? Anybody know? Have a guess?
Three.
Well, a few more?
No, three.
There's an estimated 1.5 billion cars on the planet today. And people are saying that there's enough petrol under the ground that will last us for at least 100 years. So, I've done a calculation. If all the petrol that was under the ground was used just in my car, right, my car, theoretically, would keep going for at least 150 billion years. Right. That's pretty good. That's pretty efficient. Right. I'm not entirely sure that I'm going to be needing my car for that long, but the idea is that, in a similar way, God's love is so big, it's so deep, just as petrol is below the ground, that we can always, always be filled constantly with this missionary love of God that exists within God. Petrol will run out one day, but the love of God will never, because it is within the Trinity. And this love that is within God, within the Trinity, is so big, it's so rich, that it just overspills into creation. Now, think about a cup that is just full of water and it then bursts over and spills over. This is what God's love is like. And we, as created beings, as people, we benefit from this prior love of God that exists between the Father and the Son and the Spirit. So God is a missionary God because perfect, overflowing love always has and always will exist within God. And I think the best and most appropriate way to respond to that is by worship. It's by worship. It's probably the best thing that we can do. And that's what the disciples did in John chapter 20. They saw the Lord and they were overjoyed. And then in verse 28, Thomas, he declared to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Doctrine of the Trinity is actually teaching us that God is totally fulfilled in himself because of this perfect love that exists within the Trinity. And the amazing thing is that this teaches us that God doesn't need us. God did not create people because he felt lonely. God is always, always has been, always will be totally, totally fulfilled in himself. So God does not need us. But the gospel, the good news, is that God wants us. God has made us. God wants us. And this is wonderful, wonderful news. And he doesn't want us because we are good, but he wants us because he is good. Therefore, I believe it's the best response that we can offer is just to worship God for all his goodness and for all his love. Now, we are like the disciples. We were sinners. We are not like God, who is perfect in his love. Our hearts have not always been filled with the love of God. And if we're honest, we know that in our hearts we've had things like hatred and jealousy, pride, lust, and so on. But Jesus comes to the disciples here in John chapter 20, not with a message of condemnation, but with a message of peace. He says, "Peace to you," twice. And then he shows them his hands and his side, and they saw those wounds of love. God is love. What John 4:10 says, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and that he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And then in verse 19, John says, we love God because he first loved us. So Jesus came and died for our sins. Why? Because we were good? No. Because God is love, and he sent his love down to us. And if we love Lord Jesus, if we believe in him, if we accept his sacrifice for our sins and his lordship over our lives, then we have peace with God. We are no longer enemies or foreigners. We are united to God. We are in his family. We are in his team. Now, I've spoken a little bit now about the mission of God, just the love that exists within the Trinity. And I think it's good to dwell on this and to think about this. And I need to move on now to the mission of the church. But it's essential that we think about the mission of God. Because if we want our mission as a church, Stoke Green Baptist Church, if we want this mission of this church to be shaped by God's mission, then it is good for us to think about God and that all he is doing. So what is the mission of the church? Next slide, please. Jesus says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And I would like just in this moment now just to respond very, very briefly to four questions. First one is, who is sent? Second is, where? Thirdly, why? What purpose? And fourthly, how? Okay, four questions. So the first question, who is sent? And if we can summarize this in a sentence, the answer is that every Christian is sent by the Lord Jesus. Okay, every Christian is sent. After the Reformation, there were many people who thought that only the 11 disciples were sent by Jesus. How do we know that actually it's not that, and that all Christians are sent? I think it's because of our DNA. So when I'm talking about DNA, I'm talking about the fact that the Father has sent the Son, okay? And he sent the Son not just for the 11 disciples. He sent the Son for every single Christian, every single person. And if we've received the Lord Jesus in our hearts through faith, then God, this missionary God, is in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we all have God's, if we're Christians, we all have God's missionary heart and spirit within us, and we're all sent by God. Now, in the 18th century, you might have heard of William Carey. He had a meeting with many pastors in the area, and he asked the question whether or not every Christian should be involved in God's mission. And another pastor, apparently, stood up and said to him, "Young man, sit down. If God wants to convert the pagans, he will do so without your help and without mine." And William Carey sat down, and he thought about it, and he was convinced, actually, that every single Christian is responsible. Every single Christian ought to be involved in God's mission. And then he wrote a book. You might have read it. If you haven't, I encourage you to read it. Really interesting read. It's called An Inquiry into the Obligations of Christians. And in that book, he makes many, many really good arguments, which we can't go into this morning, but just bringing your attention to the book. And so every Christian, according to William Carey, is to be involved in God's mission. And after he wrote this book, he set up the Baptist Mission Society. And following that, many, many other missionary societies were formed by different people, different parts of Europe and America. And global missions took off, okay, largely due to William Carey's influence. So just to summarise, who is sent? Every Christian, every single Christian, every single believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is sent. Because mission is in our blood, mission is in our DNA, it's in our heart. Why? Because God is a mission of God, and is our God. Second question is where a mission is sent? And the short answer is that Christians are sent into the world. In John chapter 17, verse 18, Jesus prays to his Heavenly Father, and he said, "As you sent me into the world, I sent them into the world." So every Christian is sent, and every Christian is sent into the world. Now, it is true that some Christians are sent as missionaries to foreign places. And this is really, really good, because the disciples in the book of Acts were sent to the ends of the earth to preach the gospel. But every Christian, in fact, is sent into a foreign place. Every person in this room who's a Christian is sent by God into a foreign place. And that foreign place is called the world. The world is not our home. God the Father sent the Son to save us from the world, and then sends us back into the world, to the lost, so that we can be salt and light in the world, and that through us people may come to know the Son. Ipswich is not your home. It is a foreign place, and you are a missionary in Ipswich. You do not need to go necessarily to Africa to be a missionary. If you feel called to go to Africa to be a missionary, may God bless you. But you are called to be a missionary in your neighbourhood, on your street, in your place of work, in your hairdresser, in your own home even. Christians, where are they sent? Christians are sent into the world. just as the Father sent the Son into the world. Third question, and I've only got two more left. Third question is, for what purpose are Christians sent into the world? In other words, what is the mission of the church? What is the mission of Stoke Green Baptist Church? The answer, I think, is that all Christians are sent into the world to be witnesses. To be witnesses. Now, it is very clear that we have to draw a distinction now between the mission of the church, what we're doing, and the mission of God. How is this different? Well, we are not sent into the world to die on a cross and then to raise to life after 3 days and to ascend into heaven. That is not our mission, because we are not the Son of God. This is the mission of God. But our mission is to be witnesses to all that Jesus is and has done. And our mission is also linked very, very closely to the mission of God. So in the Gospel of John, there's a really, really close link between being sent and being a witness. And we see this link, firstly, in the Trinity, between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, for example, in John chapter 5, verse 37, we read that the Father sends the Son, and that the Father testifies about the Son. So the Father is sending, and he is testifying concerning the Son. And then in John 15, verse 26, we read that the Son sends the Spirit. What does the Spirit do? The Spirit testifies concerning the Son. So again, the Spirit is being sent and the Spirit is testifying. So in God, in the Gospel of John, we're observing that sending and testifying go together in God. Okay? The Son and the Spirit are sent, and the Father and the Spirit testifying concerning the Son. Therefore, what does that mean? If God is in us, it would be in our nature also to be sent and to testify. Okay? In John chapter 15, Jesus speaks about the Spirit who is sent and who testifies. And then in verse 27, Jesus then turns to the disciples and he says, "And you also must testify." So our role, our mission, is to testify to the people in this area concerning the Son. And what does that mean? What does that look like to be witnesses, to testify concerning the Son? Well, I think what it does not mean is it doesn't mean to go and convert people, okay? Rico Tice, you probably might have heard of him, he is involved in the Christianity Explored course. He wrote something very helpful, and I'll read it to you. He says this: "Conversion is not the mark of successful witness. Witnessing is. Think of a courtroom. Witnesses are there to tell the truth. That is successful witness. If the jury doesn't believe them, that's not their fault or failure. You have not failed if you explain the gospel and are rejected. But you have failed if you don't try." Really helpful words from Rico Tice, because we as people have a tendency to think that a successful church looks like a building full of people, baptism after baptism after baptism. If 10 people are baptized in a year, that's a fantastic year, successful. And if there's no baptisms in a year, then we've failed. What happens if we tell people about Jesus and we're rejected? What happens then? What happens if we're even persecuted and beaten? What happens if even we are killed because we are witnessing to the truth? Have we failed? It very much depends. The question is not, how many people have been baptized? The question ought to be, have we been faithful witnesses? Have we been faithful witnesses to people around us? And what does it mean to be faithful witnesses? Well, it means to be salt and light, to be constantly living lives that are pleasing to God. And when we have the opportunity to speak about Jesus, that we say the truth in love. Thomas Davis, who's a pastor in Scotland, he says this: "Witnessing is not something that we sometimes do and sometimes don't do. Witnessing is something that we constantly do. Yes, there are times when we will speak about Jesus to people, but these moments are occasional. Alongside these moments is the fact that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the way you behave is saying something about Jesus to everyone who can see you. And we see this a little bit reflected in John chapter 20. The disciples are sent by Jesus, and Jesus says to them in verse 23, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now, Jesus is not telling the disciples here that they need to go and set up confession booths everywhere they go. Rather, he's telling them to forgive because they have been forgiven. In other words, they are called to live out their faith in Jesus as his witnesses, so that people around will see that they are different, that there is something incredible, there's something amazing about Christ, that through their actions, through their love, through the forgiveness that they are freely offering people, that they will show Christ, they will testify to Christ in the world. So what is the church's mission? It is to be faithful witnesses to Christ in the world. And lastly, very, very briefly, because time is up, how do we fulfill this mission? The good news is that we're not on our own. God helps us in many ways, but in two main ways. Firstly, he gives us the church to help us. And secondly, he gives us his Spirit. Jesus helps us through the church. So when Jesus sent the disciples in John chapter 20, he didn't just send Peter, he didn't just send John, he sent all of them. Okay? And when he says, I'm sending you, the word you in Greek is plural. He sent all of them. Jesus, therefore, is sending the entire church to be his witnesses, not just a few, not just some. What does this mean? It means that we're just not alone in our mission. We fish together, we work together, we catch more fish together because we're stronger, we're more efficient. The church helps us to become better witnesses, not only because we can pray for one another, we can encourage one another, we can learn from each other, and also we can work together in partnership. And that's the beauty of your partnership with us in Romania, and we thank you and we thank God for that wonderful partnership. We can work together. We are much more effective and efficient. The Father sent the Son, and the Son, what did he do? He formed the church, which is his body. So we can't do mission without the church. The church is fundamentally at the centre of his mission. The church is the result of Jesus' mission. So therefore, there's no lone rangers in God's mission. We are called to work together in unity and love. And he has put us together in a church. He has put you together at Stoke Green Baptist Church for his mission to work together in unity and love. And he's also given us the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 20, verse 22, we read, and with that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If the church can help us on the outside, the Holy Spirit helps us on the inside. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria until the ends of the earth. So the Holy Spirit is the power and love of God that helps us to do what? According to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it helps us to be witnesses to Christ. And the Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit do? As I've already mentioned, the Holy Spirit testifies concerning the Son. So if the Spirit is in us, it will teach us and it will help us to testify concerning the Son. Now we must admit that we've not always been good witnesses, and we must ask God for forgiveness. We must ask for his help, that the Spirit will be at work in our hearts and our lives, so that we do not put out its flame, but instead we allow it to grow and to allow the Spirit to testify about Jesus in our own lives. Our time is up. I'm looking forward very much to having a picnic lunch with you, and we can maybe discuss more, but the Son has been sent by the Father into the world. God is a missionary God. Therefore, his church is a missionary church. Because we, as well, are sent into the world to be Christ's witnesses. May God help us to think often about God, about his own missionary heart for the world. And may he also help us not to neglect our calling and our purpose on this earth, in Ipswich, and to the ends of the earth. As the Father has sent me, Jesus said, I am sending you, and you shall bear witness.